I have this whole theory about, like, if you have a really bad experience in a restaurant, you drew that to you before you sat down, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you have a really fantastic experience at a restaurant, you drew that to you before you sat down.
Hi, welcome. It's Dinner Table Talks, your favorite podcast with me, Joe Hilliard.
And Aislinn Campbell.
And we come every week.
For two more episodes?
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Take two. With me, Joe Hilliard.
And Aislinn Campbell!
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree that should be cut for season three.
Listen.
I've been giving the new season a lot of thought.
Aislinn has her own intro. She doesn't try to copy someone else's intro because she's Aislinn.
Yeah, she just calmly says her name. That could be your unique signature.
She's Aislinn.
What have you been up to this week? Anything good?
It's just Aislinn. Mm. Yes, lots of good things. Yesterday, my mom and I went up to San Marcos, mm-hmm. to Texas State University, that has a really good small agricultural department, meaning that, like, small farms,
sure.
You know, so they cater to...
It's not just benefiting those commodity crops that you see for acres and acres and acres when you're driving through the interstate.
Yeah. They just really have catered themselves. And that has happened over the last decade because the land-grant university is the school our sons go to, Texas A&M University. And so most of the agricultural education across Texas, and including all of the AgriLife stuff, comes from Texas A&M University. Mm-hmm. So Texas State saw an opportunity to fill a gap that the Land Grant Institute wasn't really picking up on. And that was the small scale, like homestead farmer,
like
small
you.
Farms. Yes, exactly. And so they developed their agricultural department to meet that niche. And they host with Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance organization I've been a part of, a member of, and supported in policy advocacy, come together and bring a conference together every year. And this year, they actually did an in-person conference. So my mom and I went up to the university and gave a talk on preserving your harvest, basically, canning mm-hmm. and preserving and all the different ways that we do things with that. So that was a huge excitement this week. Then I get home. Got to get ourselves all ready so that we can head out on a little adventure we're going out on. But I had committed to helping someone out with a project that they've brought up. She's a local woman that is involved in integrated medicine, which means you do still use techniques from the traditional healthcare system and the traditional medical system, but you also involve like all of the other possibilities of things that could be brought in. All the things the life I live is integrated health, basically.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Mind, body, spirit. She had offered up, you know, to the Facebook universe that she was going to pull together some swag bags for some nurse friends of hers, friends that are in the healthcare system. Would anybody be interested in contributing, especially like small wellness businesses, that kind of thing? I said, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do that. And a big part of that is because wherever I am out in the community, seeing people, especially nurses and like people that are working in like senior living facilities and things like that, you can tell, even though you can see them actively trying to promote their wellness, you can see that they're having a hard time. Like I can see that their physical beings are really drained. Mm-hmm. Like they're sucked dry. Like they just don't look well. And so
I imagine they find themselves in an industry currently where it feels like a requirement to give more than you are allowing yourself to receive.
Well, it's kind of like that time we talked about when your mom was going through some procedures and you had to stay at the hospital and we actively worked to like have you really pay attention to having strong energy and getting up and moving your body around and doing some things that would help kind of keep you in kind of a safety bubble, I like to call it. And so I think that this felt like that to me. It felt like she was offering like a gift of wellness to some nurses that sounds like a really good idea to me. They're helping and they're in these places and they're doing the best that they can, but they're also having, I believe, a lot of their energy pulled out of them. You know, they're inside all day and they're running as hard as they possibly can because they are essential. And we understand that right now. I assume that most people that are in the nursing type field are very open-hearted, like empathic people. They have to be in order to do that type of work.
And you would think that profession would draw that kind of person.
Yes.
Certainly.
And because of that, Those are the kinds of people that if they don't have a real clear understanding about how to set boundaries to protect their energy, that it will just be like totally zapped right out of them.
I'll say this with no intention of sending us down a rabbit hole, spending as much time in the hospital as I have with my mom over the course of this last 2 years, you certainly hope for someone with that personality, but you do run across a couple that seem like that has been worn down or they never had it.
Yeah, I think that's a completely different conversation. But yeah.
Yes, I know, but my wisdom, I want to interject it as often as possible, and the audience demands it.
Anyways, just me having that feeling about medical professionals and making sure, and me being really, really, really aware that right now we are in an essential time for self-care. It's extremely important.
Yeah.
That's like all I talk about right now is self-care. And so what I decided to do because of the timing of the year and kind of what she's trying to pull together that actually would give wellness from the way that I would give wellness is that I'm putting together little seed packets that have sunflower seeds that I actually grew from sunflower seeds in my...
Yeah.
And have some zinnia seeds. So it's a seed packet for people to plant. And then left a little note on there that basically says the sunflower is to bring you some fresh air. Because as I've told lots of people, sunflowers are phytoremediators, which is a whole long garden talk we don't have to have right here. Zinnia seeds are to brighten your day because zinnias are so colorful and they grow so well in our area. And I just thought that's what I can do. Because if we're talking about mind-body wellness, we're talking about the whole spectrum of helping people. I am here to inspire people to plant life and health and wellness around them. That's what I'm up to today. How about you? That was a long story to get to that point, wasn't it? That's typical me, I suppose.
I've been watching a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
You know, my biggest regret in life is I've come to terms. All of this introspection that I've been doing over the last whatever, yeah. I've come to terms with my biggest regret in life.
Okay.
Not going to film school. Being led to a school that would ultimately derail the dreams that I'd had up until that point. Now, why I allowed that to happen and the fear that clearly led that decision from a very personal point of view.
My suggestion would be, like, right off the bat, that if you're still holding on to regret of any kind, then you need to dig deeper.
Understood.
I'm like, because it doesn't matter.
I had resigned myself to the notion that for the rest of my existence, I would scratch that itch. A love of the film industry, a love of the notion of film as art. But somewhere along the way, I'd quit. And so with the void in my media landscape from quitting Howard Stern, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
I'm learning that the natural eddies and tides that are flowing into that hole are all about film production, film discussion. And it brings a level of joy that I just didn't realize was missing.
Well, the whole world is saying be you right now.
Sure.
The whole world is saying...
Sure.
Well, there's two roads.
I pulled...
The whole world is saying do what I told you to do. Or the other side of the world is saying be you, do what you want to do.
Right.
So
one of the things that I stumbled into was a list of 300 films you should see, you know, to round out your film education. And that's what it always was to me, was continued education that was self-driven. And so this list goes from 1920-something to current. And so I am hoping that you and I will have some overlap of interest when it gets to a different title. But hey, do you want to watch a 1920s German expression horror film? Yes, it's subtitled. Yes, it's a silent film. I don't think that that's going to really yank your chain. But you
here's the thing. When I sit in front of the screen, it's just to simply turn it off
yeah.
so that I can... just watch someone else's story.
I love that that's what you're saying. I don't believe you for a second because we will get trapped in a series like Euphoria that doesn't allow you to turn your mind off.
Okay, that's fine.
And I would like to say that we have found common ground because season 2 of Ted Lasso is out. And I just still love that show and am amazed at how it makes me have emotional experiences.
It's funny too. I like it a lot.
1 year ago today.
A time warp. What are we doing here?
This is episode 2.50. We are two episodes away from our season finale. 1 year ago was episode 1.50. Stellar episode.
Stellar.
Very good.
Okay.
Very different than what we're doing right now.
Huh.
There's more structure to the show.
There's more structure now?
I believe so.
Huh.
Not a complaint.
No, that's good because I think... that we're so flowy in what we talk about that it's good to feel like there's more structure okay. to fit the flow in.
We made fajitas and beans. We found our Instant Pot bean recipe, pinto beans, and we made picadillo.
I have potatoes. I need picadillo. Squash, if you need to throw some squash in there.
Tonight, picadillo coming at you. And if you want to learn about picadillo, we talked about it 1 year ago. Go back and listen to those. They're really good. But then we get into the chaos of my recipe organization.
That hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed. All of those intentions. We talk about you drying herbs. And you mention, I am planting so many more seeds this year that this year's harvest, uh-huh. is going to be a lot bigger.
Uh-huh. And wasn't it?
That came true.
Yes.
And then we talk about how in a dinner table talk, how I talk to myself and how I eat all the cereal in the middle of the night. And I like quickly glance it away. I quickly like, yeah, man, whatever.
I planted those seeds a year ago and got some fruit.
Nothing
some
like
harvest.
A 21-day sugar fast to make you realize just how much cereal you're eating in the middle of the night. And maybe that's not a very good thing. And then we launched our support button 1 year ago today. It still exists.
I am so grateful for the people that support us and, you know, moving through this world and figuring out how we're going to move forward and keep sharing things we want to share. The support that we have is essential and we value it.
My Howard Stern hole has filled up with other podcasts and they all do that. You know, that whole section of the podcast, sometimes at the front, they just get it out of the way. Hey, go to our website and go support me and Patreon.
Yeah,
and
you know me. We don't do a lot of that.
I was never in any kind of nonprofit good at the ask.
I would love it if you would stop not liking that. Let's do it.
I should just begin liking it.
Well, about how they can support us, because I believe that there are people that really want to know. And the thing about everything we do and all the places that we share things, we do it from a place of creating access to anyone who desires to hear it and to be a part of it.
Right.
So thank you for the support system of those that have been a part of the initial support phases and to all the things. So please subscribe, like, comment, support, press a ding and make some money come at us. I don't know.
The easiest way to do it is to tell a friend about the podcast.
Yes.
That is free.
Tell your friend.
But the second thing to do would be, yeah, go to our website, dinnertabletalks.com, and there's a support button and you can make a ding. Yeah, it's a
happen.
Tip jar.
Get on the bus. We're about to head into season 3.
Well, speaking of season 3, one more thing that happened a year ago was an episode of Backyard TV in the episode, which we've kind of abandoned. But I believe that Backyard TV will make a comeback in season 3 because our backyard is really about to grow.
Well, yeah, we go back to Farm TV, which is where it all began.
Oh, you mean when we first started dating? And, yeah.
Interestingly enough, I thought to myself just this week, oh, I have a story for Backyard TV.
Backyard TV.
So we've let the chickens out on the yard, like on the main yard.
Yeah.
Because we're moving up from this home, because these gardens are way overgrown, which is not necessarily bad the way I do it, but it's an opportunity for the chickens to get the final harvest. Yeah, the final harvest. Go in there, clean it up. And Kai Shin is really, that's our poodle, is really learning to like love them. I mean, I've seen that he actually says like, oh, I have friends. There's
a
community.
They have been separated by a fence.
Uh-huh.
And now they are not.
Uh-huh.
And he used to chase them.
Yeah.
And
behind the fence.
Right, right.
He's not chasing them now. I mean, every once in a while, he'll get one kind of a little bit cornered that acts weird. And whenever she acts weird, he gets excited and he'll kind of jump around or chase or whatever.
So, I like that.
No. And if he does, like if he ever gets the idea too because he gets excited, I'm very, very serious about that. I'm probably more serious about that than I am pottying on the floor in the house. Like to be real. I know I shouldn't be but
like owner, like dog.
Well, hilarious. I care very much about allowing animals to interact and engage with one another and get to know each other and know this is this place where we all live together. Now, whatever you do as a natural entity on the outskirts of that is a completely different conversation. But in our domesticated space, our backyard, our gardens, whatever, we are domesticated animals all like living in cohesiveness together. One of the things I have absolutely learned to love is having a colony of cats around your house, a colony of feral cats around our house. Because when we've had and not had a colony of feral cats around our house, we can see the difference.
In the whole food chain below them.
Everything.
Yeah.
We have possums that cause us problem with our eggs, potentially scaring or killing our chickens. We have rats in our house around. No, there are rats that come in our house when we don't have cats around the area to take care of them. Because they run up and down the lines in the back. I mean, we just live in a very urban, wet, climated, like perfect place.
Everyone has possums and rats in the backyard at nighttime.
Of course. Okay, so.
But I will never forget when Beyonce the rat jumped out of the pantry.
Exactly.
Onto my hand. Exactly. That was when I got serious with the rat traps.
And we have piles of seeds everywhere, y'all.
Our house is a golden corral.
This is the Ratatouille place.
Our house is golden corral for an errant rodent, no doubt.
Anyways, so we have this beautiful little colony of...
I was expecting you to be more disappointed in being called anything having to do with golden corral, but we'll move on.
I don't give a shit. I'm moving on. I don't... So we have this new little colony of cats. I literally got to know the mama and the original Tom that were hanging out together when the mama got pregnant, and she had these three little babies, and the three little babies have grown up around here, and they live around, are very, very feral. They are not interested at all in the people, but they kind of live in our backyard.
And
He was trying to chase one the other day, and it was the hilarious.
I saw a different chapter of the same story.
I wish I had a camera because it was hilarious. The cat was chasing the dog, y'all.
He started it and the cat finished it?
Oh, he just goes after him. Well, I think he got real brave when there was like fences and things. And when the cats were really young and they were like kittens, he chased them all the time. Like he was the big dog. But now they're chasing back. Mm-hmm. But they've all gotten to know each other because they've all been living on this property together. You know, it's just backyard TV. We are very happy that Savannah's home.
Mm-hmm.
She's been gone all summer at her mom's in Florida, but now she's here.
I was so fearful that she was going to come back a completely different person.
She's definitely grown up.
She's definitely grown up, but...
And she's gorgeous.
Still Savannah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. She's definitely still Savannah. We like to get together and have meals and everything, so you called everybody together. yeah, exactly. And my daughter was able to go, and your mom was able to go, and my parents were able to go.
Actually, it's more like this. Anyone want to go out to... Yes?
Yeah. We're a fun little crowd of people.
We also like to go out to eat.
We ended up at PF Chang's because that's one of the places Savannah really likes to eat. And really, I mean, the truth of the matter is everyone really likes, always ends up liking PF Chang's. The only problem I have with it is that it's at the mall and I don't really want to go to the mall.
Yeah.
We all had a really, really good time. My food was excellent. It's probably the best PF Chang's that I've had since we've had PF Chang's in Corpus Christi.
What'd you get? I forgot, what'd you get?
Shrimp and lobster sauce. And the only reason why I would have ever like chosen that is because they have a pretty limited gluten-free menu. It was one of the limited things in the options, but it was spectacular and I'm glad I ended up getting it. Had Asian mushrooms in it, black beans in it, egg and green onions. It was so delicious. But I did, which one of the things that they stopped doing that was really attractive to me when I first started going to PF Chang's in like other cities was they would bring out those three bowls and they had all those sauces.
I'm sure that's a COVID thing.
Well, they weren't doing it before. Like that wasn't a thing. It's not been a thing for a while.
Like getting salt and pepper is usually an ask in a restaurant these days because they're leaving community stuff in the kitchen.
But my point is that back in the early days of PF Chang's, they made a big deal out of sauces. That and they served it up. That's one thing that recipe definitely needs is that like spice.
Also reminds me of our house when we do tacos or Asian, like all these sauces come out of the refrigerator.
Yes.
Choose your poison.
I love sauce. I like Asian sauces.
Here's how it goes down when you and I go out to eat. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'll ask you, are we splitting something?
Yeah.
Because I know going into a lot of restaurants, you're limited in the menu. Mm-hmm. And if you have to order a real big thing, then I'm sure you'll probably want to share that. You gave me a sideways glance.
I was hungry.
It was fine.
I mean, I think I ate all my food. Almost, not all. Someone stole my shrimp.
What do you mean?
I took some leftovers home on purpose. I packed my little leftover box up, stuck it in the fridge. 2 days later, got it out for lunch, and all the shrimp were gone off the top of it. I was like...
I immediately imagined that the entire house, like, all eyes on Joe.
No, I thought...
It was a 1 a.m. snackage.
No, I knew who did it. No, I knew.
It was me.
I knew it was Lily. Because Lily will dig into my food if it's in there. Uh-huh. And Lily knows about me... And I hope that every child knows this about their mother, that whatever is mine is yours.
And she tends to like your leftover box more than anybody else's.
Right. Oh, that's very generous of you. back a few episodes ago, we went to the teppanyaki place in Portland.
Yeah.
And we talked about how ridiculously loud and obnoxious and like overwhelming that place was.
That was a fun episode.
However, I did still have such a good feeling about the crowd and the dinner. And it was your mom and me and Lily and Savannah wasn't here, but she would have been if she was. And then my parents. And it kind of feels like we've created this little community of people at a table that no matter what's going on around us, we're just going to have our own little fun here at the table.
That's what we just said a few minutes ago. I mean, live your best life all of the time. Why are we gathering together to go to a meal that's going to end up being expensive-ish to not completely enjoy ourselves?
But the other side of it is that you draw to you, you know, there's the, I have this whole theory about like, if you have a really bad experience in a restaurant, you drew that to you before you even sat down, you know, mm-hmm. But if you have a really fantastic experience at a restaurant, you drew that to you before you sat down. I don't know if I was like trying really hard to be purposefully intentional about setting my vibe for walking into a place that would normally be very, very hard for my sensitivities to handle, mm-hmm. The mall. The weekend before school, so there's the mall being extremely crowded, a chain restaurant with lots of people, lots of noise, lots of sounds, lots of lights, all this stuff going on. But from the moment we walk into the restaurant, the people that greeted us at the little like checkout station just all looked up. One of the, a guy actually that was there, looked up at me and he was like, "Hi, I love your hair." And I was like, "Well, thank you very much." And oh. They were all just like super awesome. No, I don't mean that in like, but
that's
it was,
all it takes with you.
Well, sometimes, yeah, you know what? Yes, that's all it takes with anybody. Look up and say, "Hi, hell, you are beautiful. Welcome to our restaurant." And then there's no place for your mom to sit down. So she has to stand the whole time. And there was nothing uncomfortable about that even. And the whole night she was like kind of giggly and laughy. And it was kind of silly and funny that was happening. Then I don't even know, we get this young man, and at this point I'm beginning to understand that most of wait staff is in the age range of my sons, our sons now. These are like my babies here. So this kid is starting to wait on our table, and you know, I look up at him and I look him in the eye, and I'm real purposeful about that kind of stuff.
I know why you looked up at him. He cracked a joke. That was smarter than your normal waiter repartee.
Right. I don't know if I even heard that, but I will tell you that what happened from that moment on is that as he circled the table, as he asked questions, as he took our orders, and this was kind of in the early stages of the waiter and the family getting to know each other as we're about to go through this hour or 2 hour service thing.
And we both waited tables, and you know that you do as a waiter or waitress size up the table. That's going to be a big one.
Yeah. So he's like,
it's gonna be more complicated.
He's going around and he's dropping like under his breath.
Yep.
Jokes.
Yes.
And all of a sudden I start hearing it and I look up at him and I like laugh and I give him a little wink or whatever. And then I think my dad at the end of the table says to my mom loud enough for me to hear, "He's making jokes." And I go, he makes a lot of jokes. I'm all like, he's that. So then I get his name, right? Oh, okay. So now we're all in a fun flow here at the table. We're having a great time, right? And all of a sudden we begin to understand that he's really hanging out specifically at the end of the table where the three teenage girls are.
Sure.
And he's really chatting it up over there and he's really responding to them, you know, extra.
The girls were even recognizing that he was being, what is the word, flirtatious or just friendly or just overeager waiter kind of thing.
Right. And so then we all start talking about his age. Well, how old is he? 21 probably would be my guess. Da, da, da. Lily, my daughter, she goes, "He's 19. Like, just, he's 19. Mm-hmm. Everybody at the table is going, "Who's brave enough to ask him how old he is?" And I'm like, that's not a brave thing. As he comes back to the table, I'm like, "You know, I have sons that are in their 20s, and I'm curious to know, with talking to you and Andy over there at the bar, how old are you?" And he says, "I'm 19. And I'm just like, the whole table, my dad, everybody at the table, "Oh, yeah, that's what he's flirting. He is. That's what he's doing down there. He is flirting." And the girls are like, "Oh," the girls start getting excited and whatever. Well, we get to the final part of the dinner and the dessert conversation comes up. And so everybody says no, except Savannah, who is, you know, it's her night and she loves the dessert part. So she's not going to skip her night and the dessert part. So he brings out a menu and he tells us, I don't know if he brings out a menu, he tells us, he makes this ice cream thing with a chocolate ball across the top of it.
Like a hardened
shell. And then I light it on fire. And at this point, we went from no desserts to having three flaming blue balls on our table. It was the funnest thing ever. It was the fun of the flaming. It was the fun of playing with and was teasing
his lighter
the girls.
Would work.
He was teasing
and
the
he was
girls
getting flustered
and they were
because,
teasing him
yep.
and they were all like, you know, he's trying to get this thing done. We've got all that. Now we've got a scene going on because there's content happening here. So I got my camera out and she's got her camera out. There's all kinds of craziness going on. It's just, it was such a fun, enjoyable evening. Your mom, there was one moment when I've told this story like three or four times now because it cracked me up so much. Your mom was sitting down at the end of the table and something you said or did cracked her up. And I think she thought I understood what she was thinking about that because I caught her eye when she was kind of laughing. And she looked at me and she laughed and she kind of pointed at you and she winked a little bit. And I just started laughing. At that point, she thinks I'm like totally in the same vibe. I know exactly what she's talking about.
Right.
No
what
clue.
She had done in her mind was,
laughing.
What an asshole. And you're like, yeah. Thanks a lot. I thought you had my back.
Oh my God. This is hilarious. It was such a fun night.
The first time I ever watched a male actively flirt with my daughter.
Your daughter is gorgeous.
I know, but it was odd. On the way home, we were talking about it. I had her girlfriend with her that she, you know, had brought to dinner. Oh, I've already put on my Snap Map. You familiar with this? I'm not.
No.
A call out, meaning on some social media app, which is probably some subset of Snapchat, she put a pin on PF Chang's and said, "Does anyone know this guy?" And then you look at it and you can say, oh, I know the people that work there. Oh, yeah, that's, you know, whatever. His social media, like, name.
Oh, so she could go find him later
no,
on.
I was, yeah, that's what her intention was, or their intention
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I missed that.
Yes, first time into this.
You'll
it
have to
was
ask
only
her.
A matter of time. Oh, the asked her if they ever connected.
Yeah.
We'll do.
I'd be curious to know.
It's been a joy to have her home. The first day back to school was yesterday. So that's a car ride together. She said, oh my God, the funniest thing happened. Do you ever remember me telling you? And I asked her if we could tell the story on the show. And she said that we could if we replaced the names of the innocent. So there's this guy at school named Billy. Uh-huh. And his social media names are Billy Loves to Rap.
Uh-huh.
Good enough?
Yeah.
And I guess I'll see him today. Well, then at the end of the day, pick her up. Oh my God, the funniest thing happened. First of all, we saw Billy Loves to Rap. And I don't know if I told you or not, Dad, but he carries around with him a DJ deck all of the time. A DJ deck for, you know, people that aren't as hip and cool as Aislinn and I that immediately knows what
I
that is.
I don't know what a DJ deck is. She had to explain it to me.
Yeah, it would be a thing that you then lay on the table. It's got buttons that are pre-programmed with different noises. It's got two turntables and you can plug
and
your...
And a microphone?
Probably. And you can
I
plug in
to the
your...
Beastie Boys.
You can plug in your phone and become yeah. a DJ on the spot.
Yeah. Remember when we used to carry a boombox around?
Yes.
Like an actual boombox
sure.
around?
Sure. You set that, thing on the, set that thing on the ground and a party begins.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Have a piece of cardboard, you're breakdancing.
That's probably why when she was telling us the story, we were a little bit more like, yeah, so? You know? Like, because we carried around that kind of shit. This huge freaking, what do you call that thing? That Walkman on the
yeah.
side of our hip?
Yeah, it had a little belt clip. I had the yellow, the Sony Sportsman
yeah,
that was like
I'm
a yellow
sure
neon
one. Yeah, Sportsman.
And rubberized.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, he came up to us at lunch and said, hey, y'all, can I sit with you? And then proceeds to put on a DJ show. And she was just this joy-filled conversation about Billy Loves to Rap.
Well, one of the things that I think is fun and interesting about what's happening with the podcast and then also just with Savannah being kind of the last one at the table at this point, you know, the fourth child, that she's always very excited to talk to us about. Like, she literally said last night at the dinner table, hey, what do y'all want to talk about? Let's talk about something, you know? First of all, she knows that there's always a possibility that anything that's talked about at the dinner table could be content on the podcast. And I think she's just fun like that. She likes that kind of stuff. But it makes me think about the shift that the podcast is going to see just because, you know, the changes at the table and how often we talk about teenagers and don't talk about teenagers and when that shift's going to happen when we don't really have teenagers to talk about anymore.
Well, no, we've already talked about how we're going to fill up our table with, you know, random strangers, hoofers, woofers.
Right. All that.
Couch surfers.
And woofers.
Airbnb guests.
Exactly.
I hope there's no bullying in this. I hope that there's joy as we're talking about Billy loves to rap.
Yeah, I mean,
she said, I think he's cool. I like him. I said, because this kid is clearly taking a chance probably in his mind, I would guess. I would feel like if I'm going to be this unique, if I'm going to walk around with this DJ deck when nobody else in high school does it.
Yeah.
There's some bravery there. There's some courage. She's like, no. I understand exactly what you're saying, Dad.
I literally said, watch that kid. He'll be the billionaire.
Correct.
I mean, you know, because the thing about it was...
She said, you're probably right.
This kind of fun and interesting way of like, he's his own hype beast. The first part of the story, as she told the story, was he had a lot of people know him. He has a lot of followers. But then you can kind of tell that it's like, it's not necessarily because he's really great at his craft. Although he showed off his craft, just whipped it out and showed it off. And it was, she comes home and sits at our table and she knows, and we all know how we all feel about the idea of be you, you be you, you know, and how much that's evolved more and more and more with that generation.
Clearly.
Yeah. I mean, that is what their generation is about, except that they are actually all facing it in that sphere of life where the initial phases of beginning to understand that people are different and starting to create cliques and clicking up with these people over here where I can kind of joke and tease and whatever, this person over there that is just being themselves. And I want to be myself and I want to, and I find it very interesting that this is the Generation Z is generally the children of Generation X.
Yeah, and they're a big part of the voice that's even saying, you be you. And the first step is for none of us to be prejudiced or rights being taken away from people that are just trying to be themselves.
Except that old coding, that old habitual like nitpicking, especially in a system that is an old, old system, like a school system, the way that they work right now, we're still kind of throwing them back into that coding, that habit of getting into groups and cliques where we kind of, do we really let people be whoever they choose to be? Are we really letting that happen? Because this is the world we live in now, where there are two choices, really. Are you a person that's going to look at the world and say, you be you, and you be yourself, and be whoever you choose to be? Or are you going to be someone that's constantly judging someone for being themselves and therefore being judged for being yourself all of the time?
I feel like it's a very generational dichotomy, too. And it always is. It needs to be like the old ways of doing things.
I mean, I think that there's definitely some of that that's occurring, but I don't feel that that's what's being said. Generally speaking, whether there were conforming to nonconformism or nonconformist, nonconforming freaks and geeks, that was the 90s. That was the Gen Z. That was us.
Yeah.
And those are
our
babies.
The show Freaks and Geeks?
Well, yeah, all of that.
Will you rewatch that show with me?
That's one of my favorite shows that ever
existed.
Will
you rewatch it, though? Because you don't like to watch things more than once.
I've watched that one more than once already.
Okay.
Probably, maybe. I don't know. I don't really want to sit down and... I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But... Whoa. I had a thought.
Yeah, Freaks and Geeks was a picture of the 90s.
We were freaks and geeks. And yes, there was a generation, the millennials, that basically helped us kind of break what is the social norms. And then you get to the generation of Gen Z who has, they know nothing other than living a lifestyle that is be who you want to be. But now they're in these spaces of like really moving into making those decisions. And we are all in a space of this old coding. And are we actually going to let it go? Recognizing that putting children or teenagers or adolescents in the situation we continue to keep putting them into, which is the traditional old school way of education, is going to create cliques and things. But here's the deal. The freaks and geeks are rising from the ashes because we raised freaks and geeks.
Yeah. If you want to use another television reference, watch Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
The geeks shall inherit the earth.
I don't know. Do what you want. Be who you want. That's the one. And going back to last week's episode, it's just a game and you aren't going to win. So you might as well play it for all it's worth. Well, hey, while we're in this intellectual vibe, why don't you kick over a question we can deep dive into?
All right, a Myers-Briggs question. So remember, the spectrum is from I strongly disagree to I strongly agree, and the middle would be neutral. Ready?
Yeah.
You are prone to worrying that things will take a turn for the worse.
I'm pretty neutral about that at this point.
I strongly disagree.
Yeah.
I do not hold any place in my heart for things are going to get bad.
Yeah.
It is the number one
Minus
thing that I'm
coding.
I was about to say, it's the number one thing that I'm trying to teach my mom.
Yeah.
Deep coding.
Yep.
Or deep example of that around for my entire life.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you rebelled. You pushed away from everything she pretty much taught you.
Well, rebellion.
You didn't push away from everything your dad taught you, but you pushed away from pretty much everything your mom taught you.
Well, rebellion. So you're saying I rebelled from a psychological notion because I've never given it any thought. That I recognize that behavior and I don't want to do it.
Okay, here's a better way to see it. Yeah, that's the better way to see it. The better way to see it is to say that your mom showed you evidence that that was a lie. See?
Or I figured out that...
My mom kind of tends to be a little bit, has been a little bit that way too. However...
It's good today, but it's going to be worse tomorrow.
My mom didn't live that all of the time. My mom went back and forth between, the shoe's going to drop to, oh, everything's going to be fine, right? So I kind of bounce back and forth, which explains why I would say I'm right in the middle. Your mom always did it.
Always.
Always.
Yeah.
And because she always did it, she mostly gave you evidence that that was not...
Oh, I see.
My mom's wasn't really a lie. It was, she was trying to, okay, bounce back and forth between, do I worry that the other shoe's going to drop? Or do I live in my land of fantasy that seems to be working out just fine? Whereas your mom is like, the worst is coming.
One example of neutral is the Boy Scout credo, expect the best, prepare for the worst.
Sure.
Have a rain fly for your tent in the bag, but don't put it up if the sun is shining.
All you saw was somebody that was constantly expecting the worst, and that didn't always come out. So
it's why when she's giggly at P.F. Chang's, I'm thinking to myself, oh, wonderful.
But the thing about it is that y'all have habits, and y'all's relationship is different than the whole rest of the world.
Sure.
Your relationship with her will
My
never...
My game with her is different than the other 7.9...
Always. Yeah. Always, always, always. Billion. Everyone's like that with their mom. And then, and this is what I was going to say... And then you draw her into these circles of people
that
now.
Do not that do that.
We're just blah, happy. And doesn't get me wrong. There is some things that happen and we all have our mood swings and we all have our days where that's where we are, you know, whatever.
And we're very capable of serious conversations if that's what needs to happen at that moment.
Right. But generally speaking, everything's working out just fine for us.
Yeah.
We're pretty happy about where we are.
Didn't gather this party to cry.
The negative stuff isn't working in this crowd.
And the folks that...
But the laughing and the fun and the happy is working in this crowd. So she's shifting. Even at 80 years old, you can shift. But she's not going to shift with you because y'all've got your own crap.
Is that on the thinking and feeling spectrum? I'm feeling rather than thinking?
Maybe that's on the intuitive. Because I was given evidence that the other shoe could drop. You see? But I also was given evidence that the other shoe doesn't always drop. Take examples of breaking the law.
Uh-huh.
Everyone has broken the law at least once.
You've sped in your car.
Correct. Because of that, the understanding that if you break the law, you are going to get caught isn't real.
True.
Just because you break the law doesn't mean you're going to get caught.
Probably a majority of times you've sped, you did not get a ticket.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing. And I'll tell you, the people that live in that space see that. I'm going to get caught by the cops. Yeah, you are. Your mom, like, the waiter's not going to bring me my stuff.
Right.
You're right. The waiter's not.
Right.
That's the world you live in.
Right.
That's literally the world you live in. I mean, my version falls in the center. I look around in my world and yeah, the shoe has dropped. But I also look around in my world and man, I got off scot-free on that one that time. And that's why I brought up the
I kicked
break
up,
the law.
I kicked up my heels. My shoe went so far up into the air, I hadn't even come down.
He's making jokes.
Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Dinner Table Talks. We will be back next Monday with a fresh episode. In the meantime,
hit us up on social media, send us an email, DM us, whatever. We want to hear from you.
And we hope that you're enjoying the episodes as much as we enjoy creating them for you.